be here at one point in the near future so that you can experience the worship on site firsthand along with all the rest of the saints. You're a beautiful looking crowd this morning, particularly considering the weather. I knew it was going to be, I was saying, I don't know what they're going to do this morning because they know it's snow is coming. And so some of the Christians yesterday were talking to me, and they were saying, you know it's going to snow around 10:30, whatever. And they would give me the wink, wink, like, you know, like, hurry up, you know, get the sermon over. But God has, it looks good. It looks nothing more than rain right now. So we're going to continue to move forward in that. We actually were here yesterday because we had another baptism into Christ yesterday. Yes, and I'm looking for her right now. I'm looking for her right now, and she'll be here, I'm sure. But I'm not even going to announce her until she comes and she shows up, and then we'll bring her up front. But she has been, well, I'll announce her, Sister Melissa George. Melissa George, and we are going to continue to pray for her. She decided to obey the gospel. Another young adult who has decided to obey God. As a matter of fact, I have a little clip today from which was sent to me by another member, Sister Carrington. Sister Carrington. Now, many of you know that Sister Carrington has been going through. Sister Carrington has been going through some illnesses. So we don't have any clip. We don't have the clip. Okay, so that's all right. But she sent me a clip of a young man. A young man who was just living life. But someone had the carriage while he was in the dollar store to come up to him and just ask him, do you know about God? Do you know God? And if you want to learn about him more, just won't you come to worship with me? Come to church. And this young man, the way he talked about his experience of being just being asked and just coming to worship and beginning to learn about God, I wanted you to see how happy he was. There's so many people today who just need someone to ask them. That's it. Because God is going to do the rest. And this is connecting to my topic today, because another young adult asked me this question. Let me make sure I get the question right. Okay. What is the significance of the concept or word walk in the biblical context? Walk. And how does this differ from when we are told in the biblical context to run or to even wait? Walk. What this young person was asking was, what is the significance in the biblical context of walk? And this is enormous, really, because I've never really had that question put that way. Because we take our walk sometimes for granted. We don't really understand or really appreciate the walk that we have an opportunity to have in Christ. You see, the reason why the young teenager was so encouraged was because there was a Christian who had courage in his walk with God to be able to just ask someone else, do you know God? Would you like to walk with me to worship? You see, that's enormous. We don't understand the impact of our walk. So I said, I'm going to do a lesson then on this walk. And I'm going to differentiate, tell you how it differentiates from run and sometimes wait, as we see in the biblical context. It's enormous. I mean, in the first five books of the Bible, God talks about this concept in the first five books, in the first five chapters of the first book of the Bible. In Genesis, the fifth chapter. In Genesis, the fifth chapter, in verse number 24, you can start at 22. This gentleman, after he had begotten Methuselah, Enoch, the Bible says, walked with God 300 years. And then what did he say, Brother Bland?
So all the days of Enoch were 365 years.
And then what happened, Brother Bland?
Enoch walked with God.
Yes, sir.
And he was not.
The Bible says when Enoch walked with God, one day
he was not.
The Bible says he was not.
For God.
Now some of us don't get that vernacular, that type of language. But when he says he was not, you know what God is telling you? God telling you no. He took him. He was translated. It says he was not because God took him. Look, the Hebrew writer might put it a little bit clearer for you. In Hebrews, referring to this whole incident with Enoch, in Hebrews, the 11th chapter, in verse number 5, in Hebrews, 11th chapter, verse number 5, the Bible says, by faith, Enoch
was taken away so that he did not see death.
So that he did not see death.
And was not found. Because God had taken him.
Because God, he walked with God so much spiritually within his mindset, within his relationship, that God took that spiritual walk and he applied it to a physical walk. The Bible says that he was walking and God just translated him. Like, well, let's see, you know, Captain Kirk, what was that? What was Captain Kirk? They said, beam me up. Beam me up, Scotty. What they used to call that? Transporter. Because of his faith, because of his walk with God. And the Bible says that while he was on earth, that he had this testimony. And what was his testimony?
Pleased God.
That he pleased God. You see, in his walk, he understood that his walk was so important that in his walk, he pleased God. Now let me just say this. You see, walk is a methodical, deliberate, and disciplined journey with God. You see, if you are not really in tune to your walk, then it's really not benefiting you the way it can. And what this lesson is going to do is talk about your walk with God. Now, on the first and foremost, I want you to know that you cannot walk with God until really, I'm talking about from a spiritual and salvation point of view, until you are saved, until you are part of God's kingdom, a part of God, a part of the body of Christ. And we'll talk about that at the end. Because you need to hear the gospel and obey the gospel and be baptized for the remission of your sins and be part of the spiritual body to start your walk with God. Right now, what you, some of us are just in the, what do you call that? The waiting room to walk with God. Now, this is just truth. You know, we're real people, real problems, real solutions. So this is no dig against anybody. I'm just telling you what the Bible teaches. You start your walk in Christ when you obey the gospel of Christ. And we're going to tell you how to do that. But this walk is so important. So important that the Bible in Micah, which is going to be our context, our text scripture, Micah, the sixth chapter, and verse number 8. Now, let me give you a little bit of background about Micah. Micah is, I'm going to ask those people who have been doing the after church, after worship study, what type of book is Micah? What type of book is Micah? What category is Micah? Who wants to say? Who wants to raise their hand? Now, come on now. This is not time to be shy. Yes, back here. Minor prophet. Absolutely. A minor prophet. Old Testament figure, Micah lived in a time where God's people were very, very disobedient. And Micah has three parts to it. It's a small book, so you can read it in your really within a half an hour. The first third of Micah's book deals with exposing the sin that God's people and others were engaged in. It seems as if the more wealthier people, the ones that had influence, were using that influence to oppress people who were poor. And they would use that influence in order to hold other people down, to even to hurt other people. Sound familiar to today? And so God was using Micah to communicate that, first of all, you're wrong, and it's a sin. And what does sin do? Do we remember what sin does? Sin separates us from God. Sin is any transgression, any transaction that is against God's will, and it separates us from God. That's another lesson, but I just want you to know that. So the first thing that Micah was doing was letting them know that this is wrong. The next third of Micah, looks at The punishment. The punishment. What God was going to do to these people if you didn't stop. Now, the New Testament is very clear on that. He tells us that we, all of us, have sinned in the New Testament. And then it tells us what the wages of sin is. Does it not? All right, the Bible, and first of all, for your notes, just so you have it, Romans 3:23 said, "For all have sinned and come short of the glory of God." All have sinned. So we all have an issue. It may not all be the same issue, but it, nevertheless, it is an issue. And then it said in Romans chapter 6 and verse number 23, he says, "For the wages of sin is death." And what he's talking about here is not only can we die physically, that's a given. He says all are going to die physically. But he's talking about spiritual death. He's talking about total separation from God. He's talking about it is in a situation and circumstance where you will never, ever be able to walk with God again. That separation that he's talking about. The wages of sin is death. But he says the gift. The gift of God is what? Eternal life in Christ Jesus. So what we are trying to do, in effect, is the same thing that the people in Micah's time was trying to do, because the third section of Micah was dealing with the hope of them restoring themselves with God. So the first one, he's dealing with the sin. The second one, he's telling them the punishment. The third, he's telling them that you do have a hope of restoration. And it's the same for us. Sin separates us from God. We understand that the wages of those sins is death, spiritual death. Jesus said, if you die in your sin, where I am, you cannot come. Now, that's the Bible. You, if you die in your sin, where I am, you cannot come. But he also says the gift of God is eternal life in Christ Jesus. And that's why we put so much emphasis on obeying the gospel of Christ, which in that process, God forgives you of sin. Okay, all right. But you get Micah. So chapter number 6 and verse number 8 is where God is telling the people, this is what I want you to focus on. What did he say, Brother Bland? He says,
he has shown you.
He has shown you.
Oh, man.
Oh, man.
What is good?
What is good?
And what does the Lord require of you?
And what does the Lord require of you? And then what did he say, Brother Bland?
But to do justly.
He says, I want you to do right.
To love mercy.
To love mercy.
And to walk humbly with your God.
And to walk humbly with your God. But what if we don't even know what walking with God is? Do we really understand what walking with God is? My lesson for the day is walk. It's walk. How is your walk with God? Do you even know if you're walking with God? Are some of the questions that you can ask? And not only this, in studying this topic, what came up is two other points that are closely related to walk, which you see over and over and again associated with this walk. And these two points are the path that you're on and the way that you are going. The path that you're on and the way that you are going. And you need to know these two things. What's your path? And what is the way? And some people are going to ask, well, what's the difference between my path or the path and the way? Now, that is going to be in the after worship study after this session. We're going to take that half an hour. We're going to look at, that's one of the topics we're going to look at. That's so important. It's just phenomenal. What is your path? And what is the way? And how you see these connected sometimes in verses like Psalms chapter number 1, verse number 1 through 3. In Psalms chapter number 1, verse number 1 through 3, the psalmist opened up this, and he says this.
Blessed is the man.
Blessed is the man.
Who walks.
Listen, not verse number 1. Right. Blessed is the man. Look at what the psalmist says. Blessed is the man
who walks not in the counsel of the ungodly.
In the counsel of the ungodly. And then what?
Nor stands in the path of
sinners. Nor stands in the path of sinners.
Nor
what?
Sits in the seat of the scornful.
Look at this. He's saying, you got to learn that as a child of God, as God's child, you got to know where you're walking. You got to know what your walk really is and what the way, what's the path that you are on. Because if you don't, then in all likelihood, you're doing one of these three things. You're walking in the counsel of the ungodly. You are standing in the path of sinners, or you are what?
Seat of the scornful.
You're sitting in the seat of the scornful. Y'all get that? You see how the writer puts it? He said, I don't want you to stand, walk, or sit in the wrong path. And just think about the times that we've gotten to trouble, or times that we have kind of like messed up. We probably were standing, walking, or sitting somewhere we didn't belong. He says, I don't want you to do any of that. But he tells us this in verse number, next verse, Brother Bland, what did he say?
But his delight is in the law of the Lord.
Your delight is in the what?
Law of the Lord.
Law of the Lord.
And in his law.
And in his law, he
meditates day and night.
He says, you meditate day and night. Read.
He shall be like a tree.
This is why I love it. I love this. He says, you're going to be, you see, in your walk with God, he says, you can be like a what?
Tree.
Like a tree.
Planted by the rivers of
water. Planted by the rivers of water. Read.
That brings forth its fruit in its season.
You're going to bring forth fruit in your season. See, in your seat, y'all not getting this. I'm telling you, this is deep stuff. This is deep stuff. He says, in your season. See, some of us cannot walk enough with God to get to our season. He says, you're going to bring forth fruit in your season. And that's why we try to get you to just keep doing what you're doing. If you're coming, if you're studying, keep doing it. Don't give up. Don't stop. Don't let Satan and all the elements of evil stop you from walking, seeking, going with God. See, God never tells us that the walk is going to be easy. That's not the deal. It's not, it may not be easy. But I'm telling you, it's worth it. It's gonna be worth it if you just don't stop. Walking with God is a spiritual discipline. It's a discipline that you conscientiously agree to and go forth through. It's not something that say, oh, yeah, I walk with God. No, it's not that. You see, Jesus puts it this way in Matthew, the 16th chapter. I believe Matthew, the 16th chapter, he tells us this way. In Matthew, the 16th chapter, in verse number 24. Beautiful. Man, media is on it. Matthew 16, 24. He says, Jesus said to his disciples, if anyone desires to come after me, he says, let him
deny himself.
Deny himself.
And take up his cross.
Take up his cross.
And follow me.
And follow me. Now, take up your cross. Meaning that some things are going to be a little bit more difficult for you to do while following Christ. That's why he calls it a cross. But you got to do it. Turn it over to God. And there's so many other things that we can talk about. You see, following God requires us to go through the straight gate. He tells us there's a straight gate. Matthew chapter number 7, verse number 13. Matthew 7, 13. What did he say, Brother Blam? Matthew 7, he tells us
enter,
in our walk with God. Listen,
enter by the narrow
gate.
Watch what
he said. He says, enter by the narrow gate. And some of your versions says by the straight way. He says, enter by the narrow gate.
For wide is the gate.
He says, wide is the gate.
And broad is the
and
way.
And broad is the way
that leads to destruction. And there are
and
many.
And he says, there are
who
many
by,
who are going in.
By it.
By it. You see, it's wide. See, our walk with God, we have to be conscientiously looking and understanding. When they said Enoch walked with God, it is more than just a casual, you know, I'm just walking. He knew what he was doing. In verse 14, what did it say, Brother Bland?
Because narrow is the gate.
Narrow is the gate.
And difficult is the way.
And difficult is the way.
Which leads to life.
Which
and there are few who find it.
And there are few that find it. Okay, so let's talk about this before we go on. Because I want to make sure I get this in. So walking signifies the consistent relationship, the daily faithfulness, the obedience and fellowship. Walking is about our alignment with God, despite whatever happens. It doesn't matter what happens. Our alignment is consistent with God. It's incremental. It's about a journey. Now, God talks about, and the Bible talks about, this running. He tells us to run the race with endurance. And in 1 Corinthians chapter number 9, look at this. In verse number 24, he talks about, on, Brother Bland. 1 Corinthians chapter number 9 and
do
verse
you not know,
24, right?
Yep. Do what you not
say?
Know that those who run
yes.
in a race all run?
Come on.
But one receives the prize.
Okay.
Run in such a way that you may obtain it.
The prize. Okay. So let me explain the difference between the walk and the run. Brother Olden, can you give me the black chair, please? Thank you. All right. There we go. Black chair. I'm going to put it right here. All right. Okay. So while the walk is a methodical, consistent process of obedience and alignment with God, the run reflects a sense of urgency over a specific task or calling or obligation or challenge, like this cheer. So I'm going to jump. Yeah. I told you I was an athlete. I told you. Y'all, that's right. I'm going to jump over that chair. But to do so, I got to run. See, I'm walking. I got to run. I got to jump. He says in verse 24, what does he say? What did he say, Brother Bland? 1 Corinthians, the 9th chapter, verse 24. What did he say? Read.
Do you not
know that those who run in a race all run, but one receives the prize? He says, I need you to run
in such a way
to get the obtain it, to get that over that challenge. Sometimes there are challenges in your life that you're going to have to pole vault over. You're going to have to run through because you cannot just do it by walking. You're going to have to run. He says, what else did he say? Verse 25, 26.
And everyone who competes for the prize is temperate in all things.
He says you're temperate in all things. Read.
Now, they do it to obtain a perishable crown.
Yeah,
so
but what?
For an imperishable.
Oh, imperishable. Read.
Therefore, I run thus.
You see, and see, this is the whole concept behind that I can do all things through Christ who strengthens me. I'm going to do this. I'm ready to run over this. But then, all right, y'all ready?
No.
No, I'm serious. Y'all ready? You know, you see, and you see, sometimes we don't have real good sense. So we don't have real good sense. So God tells us in Isaiah, let's look at Isaiah in the 40th chapter, verse number 31. Isaiah 40th chapter, verse number 31. He says, but those who wait. So we talked about run. We talked about walk. But he said, but those who wait on the Lord shall renew their strength. You know, sometime in that walk, he's going to say, hold up. Renew their strength. They shall mount up with what?
Wings like eagles.
And they shall run and not be weary. They shall walk then.
And not faint.
I want you to see that. And then in Psalms, the 27th chapter, verse number 14. Psalms 27, 14. This is another one. Psalms 27 and 14. Psalms 27 and 14. He tells us to do what? Wait.
Lord.
On the Lord.
Be of good courage.
Be of good courage.
And he shall strengthen your heart.
He shall strengthen your heart. He says what?
Wait, I say, on the Lord.
Wait on the Lord. So at various times in your Christian life, depending upon the circumstances, you're going to have to run. Sometimes you're going to have to wait. So what y'all were telling me that God said, if God said, he said, wait.
Stretch.
And you know what? God has done this before. God's done this before, hadn't he? Didn't he do it with Abraham? You remember Abraham? What did Abraham do? Abraham, he told Abraham to what? The angel, that's right, he told Abraham to wait. He said, don't you slay the boy. Don't you do that. I don't want you to do that. But I know that you would have done it. God, he told me to run over that chair. I know that you would have done it if I needed you to do it. But he tells you, wait. And this is what God does. Brother Olden, can you do this? Can you go get it? See, sometimes he says, wait. Just hold up. There you go. Come on. Yeah. You see that? Here we go. That's what God does. He'll take what is so big and so demanding in your life that you're crying every day. You can't get over, and he will shrink it. God can shrink it. Just stay with God. Stay with God. Stay with God. Just stay with God. We got so much. I'm finishing now. I'm going to finish, though. I told him I was going to early because it's bad weather. But in your decisions, in everything, put God first. Can you just give me the slide? What the definition on the Halak explored? All right, this is the term of walk in the Hebrew. In the Hebrew, it's Halak. It signifies, as it's, you see, a deep, intimate relationship and fellowship with God. I already talked about it. Refers to the path that you're on and the way that you're going. Jesus said, I am the way. Today, Jesus Christ is the way. He says, the truth and the life. No man comes to the Father but by me. Don't get distracted. In Matthew chapter 14, verse number 26, sometimes we get distracted in our walk. Some of us have gotten distracted. Keep focused and build your relationship and your intimacy with God in your walk. Don't be afraid of your faith. Jesus tells us, tell everybody you know. Invite them to come to worship. Change in your life what you need to change. What you don't have control of, you can't change. You can pray about that. Jesus was on the water with his disciples in Matthew chapter 14, verse 26. And what happened, Brother Bland? What the Bible says?
And when the disciples saw him walking on the sea,
yeah,
they were troubled.
Yeah.
Saying, is it a ghost?
Yeah, read.
And they cried out for fear.
Come on.
But immediately Jesus spoke to them, saying, be of good cheer. It is I. Do not be afraid.
Come on, read.
And Peter answered him and said, Lord, if it is you, command me to come to you on the water.
Yes.
So he said, come. And when Peter had come down out of the boat, he walked on the water to go to Jesus.
He walked on the water. Look. He walked on the water. And that's what God wants you to do. Figuratively, what is it that is stopping your walk? What is it? What is stopping you from obeying the gospel today? Walk. Walk. God has given you strength. Walk. On figurative water, come and take care of the business that you need to take care of today. And don't get distracted from the goal, from what you're trying to do. You're coming to God. You're not coming to anybody else but God. He says, come. And Peter got out of the boat, didn't he? And what did he do, Brother Bland?
He walked on the water to go to Jesus.
The Bible says he walked on the water. Now, can you imagine this? He walked on the water, and you look at him. And you know what? That's how God sees some of you. And you know what? And that's how I see some of you. Because some of you have been through some stuff. But you're still here. You're still walking. You've told me some things. You've been through some dumb stuff. But you got to continue. Don't give up. Keep walking. Because what Peter did, what did he do, Brother Bland? Read on.
When he saw in verse 30.
Yes, read.
That the wind was boisterous.
He says, when he saw that the wind, he got distracted, didn't he? He saw the wind was boisterous. What did he say?
He was afraid and beginning to sink.
He began to sink.
He cried out saying, Lord, save me.
And what happened?
And immediately, Jesus stretched out his hand and caught him and said to him, oh, you of little faith, why did you doubt?
Have faith in God. We'll talk more in the after service if you want to stay. It's a half. Everybody can stay in after service study group. We only stay for half an hour. But you know enough now, right now, to obey the gospel of Christ. Jesus died so that you can have eternal life. You need to, if you have never been baptized for the remission of your sins, you've never been a part of God's spiritual body. That's where the saved are. They're in the body of Christ. You need to obey the gospel. What is obeying the gospel? Well, first of all, the steps to obeying the gospel are hearing. You hear the truth. It says, so then faith cometh by hearing, and hearing by the word of God. You've heard. You understand that the only person who saved you, God, Jesus said, I am the way, the truth, and the life. No man comes to the Father but by me. You got to believe that. Hebrews 11 and 6. It says, without this belief, without this faith, it is impossible to please him. For if you come to God, you must believe, one, that he is, and that he is a rewarder to those who diligently seek him. You must repent. Repentance is just a change of mind that leads to a change in your behavior, change in your action. You got to change your mind. You don't have it all in control. It has been out of control for a long time. Turn it over to God. That's repentance. Then, when you come up, I'm going to ask you one thing. I'm going to take what is called your confession. What are you confessing? That you believe that Jesus Christ is the Son of God. That very fact caused the death of Christ, because they didn't believe he was who he said he was. And then lastly, the initial steps is baptism. We'll baptize you into the body of Christ today. And why is baptism important? Because in baptism, your sins are washed away. And we already talked earlier about what sin does. Sin separates you from God. In baptism, he gives you the forgiveness of sins. And not only the sins of the past, but the sins in your future as you repent. Why don't you come forth right now? Why don't you start that walk in a different manner today, right now, as we stand and sing the hymn of invitation. Let us sing.
Lord God, my feet.